Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. God bless you. Thank you, you're here. And, I must say, it's been a while since I've been up here, and I've had a full house. So, in all honesty, I'm a little nervous. And more so because it's been difficult, and it continues to get difficult, in a sense, for me. I know it's difficult for everyone who does come up here to preach. Because you want to share the Word of God, share the understanding of the Lord of God, the Word of God. And so I struggled. I had a message, and I said I knew what I was focused and I was doing. However, in the end, it did not work out the same way as I planned it and as I wanted it. Because it wasn't about me. It's never been about me. It's always been about the Lord. And so, with that, things change. Things always change because it's not always the same message. And the Lord and leads you and guides me into a direction that I need or that He wants. Because it's not about me again. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about His message. It's about His love, about His glory. So I had a really hard time and I had a struggle. And it was the last minute. God, it was so stressful. And I think Alex at one time shared that how it can be stressful. It was last night at 1 o'clock in the morning that I finally finished. And then I wake up in the morning because as I was waking up, God tells me, no, this, we got to do a little something. There's a little bit of change. But God is great and God is good. So with that, I always want to let you know that when I come up here, I'm always asking for the Lord's blessing, for the Spirit of God to come to teach me, to guide me, to help me. And so with all the different changes and all that, and I had it lined up. Rearranged it, changed it, a whole new, something different, a whole new that the Lord gave me message to share. So, please bear with me. I want you to open up your books. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And that's where we'll begin today's sermon, today's service to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 1. I'll give you time to get there. Because, you know, it's always great that you have your word with you. Because you need your word with you. Without it. And I know others have it on their tablets and cell phones. And I'm not worried about that. As long as it's the word of God and it's the truth. So in 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should be in the wisdom, should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let me look over verse 4. Let me repeat this. "In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." Let me, human, words of human wisdom. Let me go over to verse 5. "That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Words of human wisdom should not be in the wisdom of men. So my question is, what is the wisdom of man? Let's look at Genesis 3, verses 4 through 6. it says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die,'" for in verse 5, "For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it is pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." What is the wisdom of man? Is this not an example of man's wisdom? As long as it looks good, you're not hurting anyone, and you have something of good to gain from it, it's all great. Isn't that correct? It's all great. See, show care for others, give to the needy, and show love. See, God is good with that. Isn't that correct? Isn't that man's wisdom? You don't always have to go to church. You don't always have to read your Bible. And you can just pray every now and then. Besides, God is love. It does not matter your lifestyle. Man's wisdom. Man's wisdom. All I can say is, oh my. What are you thinking? See, if we look at Proverbs 14:12, go ahead and note it down. If we look at Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." See, if you want to take a look and look at man's wisdom, if you want to compare man's wisdom and should, you know, the wisdom of man, we think differently. We think, oh, this is going to be good. It's not hurting anyone. It's great. It's a good thing that I'm going to get. I don't have to do everything and all things. It's okay because God loves me anyway. It doesn't matter how I live because He is a loving God. No way. See, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Going back to verse 4, it says, spirit and of power. And verse 5 is the power of God. I want you to keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Spirit and of power. And the power of God. Let's continue on with our reading. Let's go to verse 6. We're going to go on to verse 8. It says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing." Verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory." Verse 8. "Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Verse 6, and it says, "We speak wisdom among those who are mature." And I think I'm speaking amongst those here who are mature, who at least understand God, or understand that there is a God that we serve. See, verse 7 says this, when we said, I will repeat it. It says, verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." See, the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of glory. Verse 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. So let's look at that. What is that hidden wisdom ordained by God before our glory? Let us look at Ephesians 3, verses 4 through 6. I'll let you, Ephesians 3, 4 to 6, so we can, what is that wisdom ordained by God before our glory? Ephesians 3, 4 through 6 says, verse 4 says, by which when you read, I'm pointing my finger and I don't mean that, but when you read, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the Son of Man, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. Revealed by the Spirit. We're still answering. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. So what is that mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. And let's look at another verse that correlates, that goes with this one. And that one's Ephesians 1, 3 and 5 through 5. But let me just paraphrase this, that it says, and I want you to go ahead and just keep a look at it, is that having been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world and predestined us to adoption. See, He's already before the foundation of the world, He has called us. He has chosen us and predestined us to His adoption. The mystery, the hidden mystery. So, revealed by the Spirit, Spirit and power. Keep this in mind still as we continue on. So let's continue on to verses 9. I'm going to go from 9 through 11. Verse 9 says, But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart or entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Let me go back. Verse 10. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Let's look at Romans 8:26. Go ahead and note that down. Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, even in our weakness, because of our humanness, we will look unto our own wisdom, man's wisdom, rather than the wisdom of the Spirit has, rather than the Spirit which has revealed to us. Understand that even in our weaknesses, because of our own humanness, we'll tend to look unto our own wisdom, man's wisdom, instead of looking at the wisdom that God has given us through the Spirit. Romans 8:16 says this: the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And this is why, I want you to understand, that this is why the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with groanings. Because we are children of God. See, hopefully, I want you to remember that you continue to keep in mind Spirit and power. Keep in mind Spirit and power. So let's continue on in Corinthians. We're going to, with verses 12, with verse 12 and 13. So verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, what was given to us freely by God is the question. So, what was given to us freely by God? Let's look over at Romans 8:15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Freedom of bondage. Freedom from our past. Freedom from the chains and slavery of sin. That is what God has freely given us. Freedom of bondage. Freedom from our past. Freedom from the chains and slavery of sin. Second Corinthians 3:17 says this. 2 Corinthians 3:17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty." And in Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Understand that. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Continue to keep in mind Spirit and power. See, let's continue on and finishing off the chapter in verse 14 through 16. Verse 14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Spiritually discerned. They just don't comprehend it. Verse 15. "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." By no one. Verse 16. "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Do you? Again, do you recall me talking about the Spirit and power? Remember, Spirit and power. See, understand this. I want you to understand this in John 24:24. It says, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. So Jesus tells His apostles, His disciples, and I want to remind you of this in John 16:7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Do you not recall that? I want you to understand that. Jesus says, I have to leave. I have to go. So that if I go, I can send you the Helper. So that I can send you the Helper, I must leave to send you the Helper. And so, and where, the question next is, where does that Helper come from? So where does that Helper come from? Let's look at John 15:26. And it says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Verse 27. Let's go on to verse 27. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Who does the Helper come from? But from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father. That's where our help comes from. That's where our help comes from. And then the power, I want you to understand the powers in the next verse as well. It says, you also will bear witness. Why would you bear witness if the Spirit is not in you? You have that power to bear witness of Jesus because you have been with Him. Have you not all been with Him? And if you haven't, isn't it time to get on that train, to get on board, to be with Jesus? Now I ask you, what will the Spirit do? What will the Spirit do? Let's look at John 16. We're going to go to verses 13 through 15. Starting with verse 13. It says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. Verse 14, He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. For He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. In verse 15, because all things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. So what does the Spirit do? He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And the Spirit yet comes from the Father. And so who do you think He's going to be listening to? But the Father. And He doesn't come on His own authority, but the Father's authority. And He will glorify Me, who's Jesus, and He will take of what is mine, which says Jesus, what is Jesus, and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. All things the Father has belong to Jesus. Understand this. Understand this. Therefore I said that he'll take and he'll declare to you. I want you to understand this. Take note of this. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live in him. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live in him. And that's found in Luke 20:38. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. I want you to understand, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Found in 2 Timothy 1:7. See, he gives us the power to overcome all trials. He gives us the power to overcome all obstacles. He gives us the power to overcome all things through love and a sound mind through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Overcome all obstacles. He gives us the power to overcome through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. For he is the I am. The I am that you need. The I am your deliverer. The I am your healer. The I am your comforter. The I am your shelter. The I am your protector. The I am your avenger. The I am your God. Amen. Praise God. I want you to understand that. Recalling in today's scripture, and Aiden had read in Exodus 3:2-5. I want you to understand this. I want to take verse 5 and share it with you. Because this, you know, verse 1, where it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. The fire being the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 5 is what I want to point out. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. The place where you stand is holy ground. The place where your feet are on is holy ground. In ending this, I pray that each time you or anyone entering into this place, this church, that all feel the presence and Spirit of the Lord and know that you stand on holy ground. On holy ground. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is the message that he's given me today to share with you. That we have the Spirit and the power through the Holy Spirit to overcome all obstacles, to overcome everything that comes our way, because he is the I am. Because he is the I am. I am all that you need. I am all that you need. I paused there because I want Levi to be able to cut this message. And next, what I want to do is something that I spoke about the last time. It's been a while that, you know, it's something that I really want to share. Something that I don't think this body has done in a long time. And that is, I know that when we baptize, and we have members in our congregation that want to be baptized, we go to Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20, where it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." This is Jesus. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." We read that. We preach that when we're baptizing. But then after that, after the baptism, as they rise, we call upon the elders, the deacons, and the members of the church, the body. We call upon the body to pray over them, to ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And we do this because, I want to say in Matthew 3, 16 and 17, let me get there. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And I could paraphrase it, but let me put it in God's words. Matthew 3, 16 through 17 says, "When he had been baptized, when Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, And alighting upon him. And verse 17, it says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" In whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit of God fell upon him after baptism, and this is something that we practice. It's something that's new that I invite, and I'm not going to feel any discouragement or any pressure or anything. But at this time, I would like to ask, because I want to pray for you, I want to anoint you, and I want to call upon the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to fill you, to strengthen you, to show you the power that He has over you, the power that He's given you, the power and the strength of who He is, because I am is who He is. He is everything that we need. Everything that we need. So I want to invite anyone who wants to come forward, and I want to anoint you. And again, if you don't, that's okay. But it's something that I know that we do not practice all the time. And it's not that, what do we have to fear? Nothing. It is only the Holy Spirit. And all the Holy Spirit ever does is the will of the Father, because He does nothing according to His own will, but the will of the Father. So I want to give this time the opportunity. If you wish to come up, and all I want to do is anoint you and pray for you and ask the Holy Spirit come into you, fill you, and let you acknowledge the power and the strength that He has already given you through His Spirit. Anyone, and that's okay. You don't have to come up. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and even in the name of Jesus. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even in the name of Jesus. I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, even in the name of Jesus. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even in the name of Jesus. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even into the name of Jesus. I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even in the name of Jesus. There are no others. Let me call upon the Lord. Hold each other's hand and let me grab your hands. Dear most graciously, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you at this time. Because Lord, Heavenly Father, we know, Heavenly Father, in our weaknesses that we need you, Heavenly Father. That we need your Spirit to come into us, Heavenly Father, and intercede for us, Heavenly Father. For Lord, Heavenly Father, we need you. You are the I Am of everything that we need, because you are all that we need, Heavenly Father. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, guide us, strengthen us with your power to overcome all that we have to struggle with all the battles. Because, Lord, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but the principalities of evil. Lord, Heavenly Father, bless our spirit. Connect our spirit and encourage us, Heavenly Father. Lord, as Joshua and the Israelites came around the wall of Jericho, because it withstood from them to get in the promises that you have bestowed upon them, Heavenly Father, that land of milk and honey, that, Lord, that we kick down, Heavenly Father, and break down that wall, that, Heavenly Father, that keeps us from your glory, from your promises. Heal us, strengthen us, guide us. Help us overcome, Heavenly Father, for you are great, O Lord. Lord, thank you. Praise you. In the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we pray. And God, we thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I ask that the Lord fill this house today, fills your home, fills each and every one of you with the Holy Spirit, that you understand what God has done for you and the connection that He has with you, because His Spirit connects with your spirit and He speaks on our behalf. He intercedes for us. Amen. Praise God. All glory and praise to God. Amen, and thank you so much.